by grace, I have been saved through faith. I've been sozoed through faith. Not by anything I've done. I am righteous, holy, sanctified, and pure. Anybody else in here?
Amen.
Now come on, there needs to be more hands. I am holy, amen. Righteous, sanctified, and pure.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's what I'm preaching on this morning. Been created new in Him. Amen. Okay, I'm just going to pray before we start. Father, I just thank you for your word. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to study your word. Lord, I'm praying that your Holy Spirit will take these words and plant them into the hearts of everyone who can hear my voice. May the seed of your word penetrate deep, deep into our hearts. May the reality of your word impact our lives this morning in a new way, Father. I'm praying that there will be ears to hear what I'm saying today. Lord, would you guide my words and bring inspiration when I'm speaking. So I thank you, Lord, for the power of your precious word. Thank you for this opportunity to study today in Jesus.
Amen.
I've shared in the last couple of weeks, got some messages here to the Lord, but just a couple of testimonies over the last couple of weeks about how our Thursday night Bible study we're listening to teaching, which has just absolutely blown me away. It's truths that I've already known, but sometimes somebody will say something in a new way or a different way, and the word just explodes on the inside of you. Everything that you know already just, oh my goodness, comes alive. And that's going to happen to me as we've been listening to this teaching. So I want to share that with you this morning. I've written something out. I have this statement that I want to read out to you, because this is what I'm going to teach on today. So I'm just going to tell you what I'm going to tell you. Then I'm going to tell you, and hopefully you'll get it. Okay? Now this might sound like a load of religious jargon to some people who don't know anything about this, but I will try and explain this as I go through the morning. Okay, so this is about Jesus. Jesus died as the last Adam, and he rose as the second man. His death broke the Adamic reign of sin over mankind. He took to the cross the iniquity, the consequence of the iniquity, and the punishment of that iniquity, and he dealt with it fully and absolutely. Amen. He rose victorious over it, having put it to death, and he was raised a second type of man, the firstborn of a new God-man race. Hereafter, any person who believes on him enters into that same death and resurrection. Their Adamic nature is put to death. It is circumcised out of them. They are recreated brand new, reborn into that new God-man race.
Amen.
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 So that's my message this morning. Now some of you will have an understanding of that, but I pray that today, if you've never heard that about that you'll learn something today, because this is actually one of the best kept secrets in the whole of Christianity, and yet it's actually Christianity 101.
Yeah.
If we don't know this, I don't know how people live a Christian life without knowing these things, but so many Christians don't. I've been a Christian for maybe like 30-something years now. This has just come alive in me again now. So we can go through our Christian life and have these moments of, wow. So I hope you have a wow moment today.
Amen.
So, I want to start with Corinthians 5:17. Don't look there, you can quote it from memory. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore,
whoever.
Something
like that. What? Yeah, nothing, I didn't say a word.
Therefore, if any man be
Christ, he is a new creature.
All things have
passed away.
Behold, all things are made new. Amen. Why don't we know that? We know that, or we should know that. That is Christianity 101. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let that be a verse. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let that be a verse that you can trot out just like that. No howevers.
I didn't say one.
So, Paul writes there that we have been made a new creature. Now, I've known this, I believe this for ages. This is talking about your spirit, man. Your spirit has been created brand new. When you come into Christ, you become a new creature. The old goes. The new comes. Just go to 2 Thessalonians 5. I think it's around verse 17. Paul talks about spirit, soul, and body. Every human being is spirit, soul, and body. And that new creation that Paul is talking about in Corinthians is about your spirit. When you get born again, your spirit is recreated brand new. Your body and your soul thereafter will catch up with what's already happened in your spirit. But in your spirit, you are recreated brand new. And it's this new creation, this new creature in each one of you that I want to draw your attention to today. Because so many of us are not living out we're still living like Adam. We're still living as if we are part of the old Adamic race. We are absolutely not. We are now a new creation, a new creature. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Paul begins by summarizing the gospel that he's preached to people. 1 Corinthians 15. So he starts off by talking about the gospel. In verse 2 he says, by which also you are saved. Let's read from verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I preached unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So he's talking about Jesus being dead, buried, and resurrected. Then he goes on to challenge what some people were saying about there not even being a resurrection. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, if there's no resurrection, then that means that Jesus wasn't resurrected. Yeah. And if Jesus wasn't resurrected, we've got a problem. Now, I never really used to understand that. I thought, surely the important thing is that Jesus died for my sins. And obviously, that is really important. But what is of equal importance is that he rose again. Because
Amen.
When he rose again, he left Adam in the grave. So everything that was connected to Adam, sin and iniquity, sickness, poverty, pain, sorrow, grief, whatever negative thing you can think of that was to do with sin and with being Adam, Jesus left it in the grave.
Amen.
And then he rose again. And he rose the firstborn, it says, of this new God-man race. So he was the firstborn this new type of man that now could exist on the earth.
Yeah.
Adam's in the grave. Jesus, the new God-man type of man, has been raised and is now alive. So if Jesus hadn't risen, there would be no new God-man race for us to enter into. Yeah. So we would still be in our sin. If there was no victory over that, we would still be in it. Understand that. See that. So we need to see ourselves as Adam in the grave, dead. Sickness, poverty, disease, whatever is your problem, issue that's connected with that old Adamic way, see it dead in the grave.
Yes.
See Jesus raised, the new God-man, and then see yourself in him.
Yeah.
That's why we talk about our identity in Christ.
Yeah.
Because we need to identify with this new, victorious, overcoming, powerful, mighty man who was raised, and see ourselves as that. And not see ourselves in sickness and defeat. That's in the grave.
Yeah.
Verse 16, he says, if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. I'm not making this up. I'm not clever enough to make this up. This is actually what is written in the Word of God. This is what he is saying about how it is, how it was in Adam, when Adam sinned, he fell, all that death came upon the Adamic race. It says, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of the fruit and evil, you will surely die, is what it says in Genesis. That surely die, the word does this sometimes. When it wants to emphasize something, it uses the same word twice. So surely die is actually the Hebrew die. Like it says, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me because he trusted in me. That perfect peace is shalom. So if God wants to really emphasize something, he'll use a word twice. Yes. Holy of holies, Kadesh. Remember that? So God is saying, you will surely die. You won't maybe die, and as then Eve said, lest you die, perhaps we'll die. No, you will surely die. You're going to die. And they died. I mean, they didn't die physically, but they died from being connected with God and from being connected with the blessings of God. Sin came in, iniquity, rebellion, all that junk came in, sickness, disease, poverty, all that came in then. So that all happened then. Then Jesus came and put an end to that.
Amen.
Took it on himself.
Yes.
2 Corinthians 5:21. Who can tell me that?
I should.
For he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made
the righteousness of God in him.
So God put all of that junk onto Jesus, the whole of the Adamic corruption onto Jesus. Jesus bore it on the cross, died with it on him, and so took it to the grave. I mean, this is just nearly too good to be true.
Amen.
World system. We do not have to be participators of this anymore.
Yeah.
Because Jesus has risen victorious over it. So Christ, if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. That's why. He had to rise again to leave it in the grave and be. First born. Jesus, he says, verse 21, for since, for in 1 Corinthians 15, since by man came death, since by Adam came death, by man came also the resurrection from the dead. The first man, Adam, sin came in, the second man, Jesus, was raised from the dead. And so are we. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every single human being who comes into the world with an Adamic nature. We are all sons of Adam when we come into this world. There's no exclusions apart from Jesus, who came in the likeness of Adamic man. So all of us have been infected with the death that came through Adam. And in Christ, it says, shall all be made alive. That is all who will be reborn into him. You are born into Adam. You need to be reborn into Christ.
Yeah.
So you are born into your Adamic person. You need to be born again into your new Christ image.
Amen.
Amen. So then he talks about the final resurrection and the promise that our bodies are going to be replaced with a beautiful, more glorious, eternal body. Then he keeps comparing Adam to Jesus. Verse 45, he says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. And then in verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. So yeah, the first man, Adam, and all that corruption. Then we have the second man, the second type of man, Jesus, that we get to identify with. It's wonderful. He compares Adam to Jesus, the first man, the first kind of man, sinful man, who we are all born into, and then the second kind of man that we get reborn into. He died as Adam. Jesus died as the Adamic race, if you like. He took the whole of the Adamic problem onto the cross, and he dealt with it there.
Amen.
And then he was raised again, second man. Not a second Adam in that sense, but a second man, second type of man. Am I making my point? Yeah. I repeat myself a lot. When I'm preaching, I'll say the same things over and over again. Jesus was raised the second type of man. We are born the first kind of man. We are born again that second kind of man. He took all the iniquity of Adam. I've written this here, so I'm just going to read it out. I've already said it. He took all the iniquity of Adam. The iniquity. The consequences of the iniquity. Sickness, disease, strife, pain, whatever. And the punishment of the iniquity, which all of us deserve, Jesus took it all.
Yeah.
He took it to the cross and he put it to death when he died. This is awesome. It's been put to death. He ended forever the reign of sin. He broke the dominion of sin. That's a powerful thing. Because sin appears to be strong. There's a lot of sin in this world, and it appears to be strong. But what Jesus did is just way above, beyond, more mighty, more powerful than the power of sin. That's why it's so easy to benefit from what he's done, because what he's done is so powerful. The strength of sin was great, but the strength of what Jesus has done is greater, much greater. And he has broken the dominion of sin. There is nothing stopping us from coming to God. When he rose from the dead, he left all that Adamic power in the grave, broken and overcome. He rose victorious over it, rose a new kind of man, the first to be free from the dominion of sin. Now, of course, he was never a sinner himself, but he became sin.
Yeah.
For us. He became our sin on the cross. He became it and put it to death. So he was the first to be free from the dominion of sin. When we are born again, now listen to me carefully, right? When we are born again, we enter into that same condition of being free from the bondage and the dominion of sin and all its consequences, including sickness. Including sickness. It's in the grave. But I think it was Sean this morning who said that it only benefits us if we believe it.
Yeah.
And that's why there are a lot of, you know, I'm not being mean, I'm just stating the obvious. But that's why there's a lot of Christians who are not looking in the victory of what Jesus has done. Most Christians don't even know. They don't even know. They understand a little bit about being a new creature. What does that actually mean? It means you are a new creature. You're a new type of person.
Yeah.
So, I know I'm a new creature. I've been rejoicing in that for years. But I never really saw it as this new type of man that I was entering into, like a new race. I just think this is amazing. It's absolutely amazing. So I want to look at a heap of scriptures about what the fact that this has happened to us. So I'm going to repeat myself. So Romans chapter 6. Go back a bit to Corinthians. Paul says this so obviously. How can we miss this? How can we miss what he's saying? Romans 6, let's just read the verse 1. What should we say then? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound?
God forbid.
Amen. And he's going on to say, he's just been talking about sin and Jesus' victory over sin and how we're free from sin. And that where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. So he says, well, should we just go and live in sin then? And Paul says, well, no, because how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We're dead to it. Know ye not, don't ye know this? Do you not? No, he says, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death.
Yeah.
We died with him. When he died, we died. Oh, I hope you can see this. I hope you can see yourself dead in the grave with Jesus. And then see yourself raised. Verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in that exact same newness of life.
Amen.
This is what Jesus came to do, and this is what we get to enter into. This is what salvation is. It's being saved from that Adamic junk and being brought into this amazing kingdom power Jesus life. That's what happens when we get saved. So if you're a Christian here today, you've received Jesus. You haven't just received Jesus, you've died. You've literally died. And were reborn as a new man, a new creature. But it's not going to benefit you unless you believe it. And if you have not received Jesus, that is waiting there for you.
Amen.
Waiting for you to see yourself in the grave and then receive this amazing new life of power, victory, overcoming that Jesus died to give us. Every single Christian in here who has been exposed to God's grace and has been set free from religious duns can testify to the power of that life.
Yes.
Personally, I was a mess. I used to sit in my kitchen on the floor in front of the washing machine crying because I was just such a mess. And that was my life, was just a mess. And God has raised me up, and that's the testimony of many people. This new life, and that was before I even really understood what happened to me. But isn't that lovely? One of the great things about the Word is how it just keeps. You just keep going deeper and deeper and deeper into it, and it just keeps in your life. So we've been raised up in newness of life. And he says, if we have been planted together, when you plant something, what do?
Put it in the ground.
In the ground. Just talking about being dead. We planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Christ, our old man is dead. Was crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. This is why we don't live in sin, because sin has been destroyed in us. If you look at Romans 2:29, you don't need to turn there, but it talks about being a true Jew, right? A true Jew is not one who's had the circumcision of the flesh. That was what happened to Jews, still is what happens to Jews. They are circumcised, and that is a sign of their covenant with God. But Paul says, having something done in your physical flesh is not what makes you in covenant with God. The thing that makes you truly in covenant with God is where your heart is circumcised.
Amen.
And that is literally talking about having the sin part of you cut off, cut out. I mean, I don't know what they do with the, I guess they just put it in the bin, I don't know. But it's gone, you never see it again. He says in verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. Then he goes on in verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign, everybody say reign in life by one Jesus Christ. How many times can you say the same thing over and over? Mm-hmm. That's what Paul does. He says the same thing in Colossians. Let's go there. This is just, Colossians. Oh yeah, I'm going to before I go to Colossians. Second Timothy 2:15 talks about writing divine word. Yeah. And what Paul means by that is, he means take the scriptures and see what is said in different places. So it's almost like you're cutting it up. The word rightly divided means to make a clean cut. So you literally cut up the word, not literally, but you know, you take different passages that say the same thing, put them all together, and there you have a doctrine. You create a doctrine, a way of thinking, a mindset that is biblical when you take lots of things and put them all together. What you don't do is take one scripture and build a doctrine around that, which is what a lot of the body of Christ has done, especially with 1 John 1:9, which says that we've got to come out confessing our sin. It's the only New Testament scripture that does that, so you cannot build a doctrine around it. The confession of sin is an erroneous doctrine in the body of Christ. I'll see you there. Colossians 2. Talking about our relationship in Jesus. Verse 11, he says, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. So this is not talking about male circumcision. This is talking about the circumcision of humanity, of a human being, that's not done physically, it's a spiritual thing. Like a spiritual procedure that happens when we get born again. We are circumcised with circumcision made without hands in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So when we get born again, the sin nature is cut out, circumcised off of us, and that is as if we have died with Christ. Buried with him in baptism. He's just saying the same thing over and over. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Amen. I mean, this is King James, it's wordy. But, you know, just saying the same thing. You died with Christ, you've been raised with Christ. Your Adamic nature is dead. Your new, born again, spirit-filled, amazing nature is now what you've got. I've got some notes about that phrase, operation of God, which I won't look into because I've got lots to say. But if you're interested, ask me. And then Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you be risen with Christ, which you are, if you're born again, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. That affection is also your mind. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 9. You have put off the old man with his deeds. Your old Adamic man is off. And then verse 10, and you have put on the new man. new type of man. That new God-man being is what you are now. You now are. Which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created them. This is going back to saying how important it is that you understand these things. Because having this happen to you is not the thing that's going to set you free. It's knowing these things. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's only the truth that you know that's going to make you free. You need to know it first, otherwise it's not going to benefit you. That's why it's so important that we get into the Word and study these things. I can't emphasize that enough. I mean, we do emphasize that a lot here. But my Bible, I love my Bible. And it has been so good for me for Bible study. It's just cross-reference Bible. So in the middle bit, there's the list of other scriptures, and there'll be a little letter next to the scripture, and then when I look in here, it gives me other corresponding scriptures, you know. That's just use that. Use your cross-reference, and that's how you do Bible study. Now, if you want to sit and read through the scriptures, or like a book kind of idea, that's great. But for me, I find it much more beneficial to do a study like that. So like I'll read a scripture that talks about the operation of God. And I thought, what does that operation mean? So I'll look and I'll see a cross-reference and I'll start looking at things. Then I've got Strong's Concordance on my phone. So I'll just look up, what does that operation mean? And what are some of the other words that it's translated as? So I'll go from Colossians into Ephesians and then Hebrews, and then I don't know if I'm going to have time to go on, but I'd like to show you some typology from the book of Numbers to show you that you're dead. I'm not going to have to do that next week, I think. But that is really good. You're going to love that.
Amen.
But this is how you study your Bible. You get a cross-reference Bible, and that's a great start. And then just go through the scriptures like that. And the Holy Spirit will minister these truths to you. That's rightly dividing the Word. When you're taking all these scriptures that are related and put them together, get excited about them. And then they come alive in you, and you'll hear a teaching on them, and it'll go whoosh again. And that's what the Christian life is. It's about an ongoing love and meditation of the exciting things in the Word.
Yeah.
Which that's what works for me. let's have a look at Galatians then. How long are we going? Certain things. When he says, why are you going back to that? system is nothing to do with you anymore. You've died to that, he says. Dead to the law, is what he says. And he's going on about saying how legalism has its place. The law has its place. The law is for the unrighteous man. What the law does, it shows you that you are never, ever going to be good enough.
Yeah.
The law was not given for you to keep. It was given to show you could never keep it.
Yeah.
And as soon as we realise that, hold our hands up and say, I can't do it, Jesus says, that's right, I did it for you. And you get to benefit from everything because of what I did.
Yes.
So when you can set free from the law in Christ, why would you go back into that? That's probably what he's saying. And he's talking about how the law is a schoolmaster, he says. In verse 24, he says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law was given to show you you cannot keep it. You need a saviour.
Yes. Amen.
And here's your saviour. It's Jesus. So phew, I can't keep it, but here's the answer. Hallelujah. And then he says, after that faith has come, we are no longer under schoolmaster. You're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
Amen.
Yes.
And then he goes on to say something which is just beautiful when you think about the new God-man race and how in that new God-man race there's no Jews, there's no Greeks, there isn't male, there isn't female, there's no slaves, there's no,
yeah.
There's nobody free. We are all equal.
Amen.
All of us are equal. There's not some up here, there's not some up here, there's not some down here, there's not some way over there. We all have this wonderful, amazing equality in Christ.
Hallelujah.
It's just beautiful. We are all one in Christ Jesus. There is no difference. Let's finish with Ephesians. Ephesians is next. Chapter 2. We sang this morning. By grace I've been saved through faith. Not for anything I've done. We can't earn it. That's what the law shows us. The law shows us that we are never going to be good enough. We may as well just, you know, hold your hands up, surrender, and receive it all through Jesus, which is far better way of doing it. By grace, we're saved. Well, let's read verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, he's quickened us together. He's made us alive together. That means with Christ, by grace you're saved. It's all about what he's done. He's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He's just saying the same thing over and over. We have been created new. New God men. Then he talks about what we were. Verse 11. He says, we were Gentiles. We were uncircumcised. We were out of covenant relationship with God. We had nothing. We had nothing in God. Verse 12. We were without Christ. We were aliens and strangers from the covenant. We were without hope, we were without God in the world, we had nothing. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off are made nigh, you're brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one. He's talking about Jew and Gentile here, but he's talking about how Jesus has brought us all together in this new one race. So he's made both one And then verse 16, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body. On the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. I mean, that's wordy, but he's saying the same thing, that when Christ died, I'll finish with this, and I'll remind you, I told you what I was going to tell you. I told you. So now let me just tell you what I told you.
Good teacher.
You were born Adam. Yes. You were born in sin. There's nothing you can do about that. It's the way it is. But Jesus took Adam to the cross. And he put Adam and everything connected with the Adamic problem, put it in the grave and killed it. Dead. Then he was raised again, this new type of man. And when we believe in what he did, we benefit from what he did.
Amen.
And our Adamic nature, it's like it's cut out and put in the grave. And we are recreated brand new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old is gone. Behold, all things are become new. And that's who you are. That is genuinely who you are. But it's not going to benefit you until you believe it, see it, and grow in it. Let it grow in you. Let it strengthen in you and really start to impact how you're living. So that when problems come, and they come, we're not immune from problems. In fact, when you become a Christian, you put your head above the parapet and you get fired at. Yeah. Don't you, Carol?
Yep.
So problems are going to come. But when we know who we are in Christ, When we see ourselves lifted out of defeat, and you know, oh well, what can I do about this? Nothing. That's not true. Now you can use the power of your tongue, as we've been talking about. Declare the victory of Jesus over any situation, and stand in faith, believing that God calls us things that be not as though they were. That you are going to see this thing beaten. You're going to see yourself victorious over it.
Amen.
Everybody's got things in their lives going on that you can speak to. And Jesus said, Mark 10, is it? Mark 11? Find it. He's cursed the fig tree. And they're saying, wow, Jesus, you spoke to that tree and it died. And he says, verily I say unto you, verily means truly, this is true. Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. So if we have a problem, you speak to your problem, tell your problem about Jesus. You don't need to tell Jesus about your problem, he knows. You tell your problem about Jesus, and he says, if you believe that it's going to happen, it will happen. That's where death and life are in the power of the tongue comes in. But you need to see yourself as having authority, that power, that victorious, overcoming the power of Jesus on the inside you. It's not that Jesus is out here somewhere and you're asking him to deal with that. And Jesus, look, deal with that. No. You have Jesus within you. You have his victorious resurrection power in you. You speak to it. You do it. See you. ourselves as having that resurrection power on the inside of us. We are dying from nature and failure and weakness and stupidness and whatever else. See it dead, planted, buried, however you want to say it. It's down there. And you have been raised.
Amen.
Victorious and mighty hands. Yes. We don't have to put up with this stuff. We can be bold.
Amen.
Come against it.
Amen.
And believe me, see the victory. Can I get an amen in the
amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for everything that you did for us on that cross, for everything that you dealt with, everything you carried for us, that you took it to the grave and you buried it, and that you were raised again so that we could be raised again in you.
Yes.
I thank you, Jesus, for that. May we have the fullest, most amazing, complete revelation of what that means for us, to be raised, resurrected with you, and to be part of that new God-man race. Alive in you, filled with your overcoming mighty power. We thank you for your Holy Spirit making this word come alive in our hearts. May our lives never be the same again because of the truth of your word in our heart. Oh, let it be so, Lord. Let it be that your word will be transforming minds and setting us free. Seeing your mighty power being poured out into our lives and our families' lives and our communities, and just the boldness that that will bring. I thank you for your word, Lord, and for this blessed time together. Amen.
Amen. We hope and pray that you have been blessed by listening to this message from Murray Grace Fellowship. Our vision is to provide all our messages free of charge. And for this, we thank those brothers and sisters who provide financially into the ministry. If you would like to partner with us in the preaching of the gospel, please go to our podcast site at mgf.podbean.com, where you can find our partnership link. Thank you for listening. Be blessed and be a blessing. Amen.